He sends forth the rain and he holds back the rain. Of course, here the references to the rainy season and the summer season. In the rainy season, it rains. We don't have the rainy season here, but in India, when the rainy season comes, and it rains and rains and rains and rains. Buckets and buckets and buckets of rain. And that rainy season is part of the rainy season. But then the rainy season has to stop. And the summer season comes, and then the rain is all bad. Here, of course, you just get rain any old time. But still, there's some sort of pattern to it. When things get too hot, then after some time, the rain comes and cools things down and provides water for the crops. So behind that giving and holding back of the rain is Krishna. Tapanyam aham varsham nirnam yusrutamitra. And the Amrita Chaiva Ritu Strong, Krishna says, I'm life and I'm death. I am immortality, Amrita, yes, and I'm death. Prabhupada points out that you may deny the existence of God, but you can't deny the existence of death. Anyone who says, I don't believe in a higher power, he's a fool. Here's the higher power. God means all-powerful. Death is all-powerful. The greatest man, the greatest scientist, the greatest political leader, the greatest anything. They all have to surrender to death. Every one of us has to surrender to death. At the time of death, we may write books about how there's no God. But God has the last word. Now go to the graveyard. So death is all powerful. So a philosophical person will ask, why is there death? If you have to imagine a universe, there doesn't have to be a universe in which there's death. It's not a necessary component of any design that you might make. Or you make a design that there's no death, where everything is last permanent. But that's not the material world, wherever you go. With no exception, not that you could reach some island in the Bahamas or something where you discover there's no death. But you go to higher planets or anywhere on this planet, death is certain. God does the you're going to do it. Is born, death is certain. And that's Krishna's arrangement. And that's Krishna himself. Krishna meets us as death. Krishna meets us as death. Or Krishna meets us as immortality. The beyond this material existence is the existence where everything is eternal. And that's also available. You can have Krishna as immortality, you can have Krishna as self. That's up to us. Take your choice how you want to see Krishna. As immortality or as self. And Samasat Prabhupada translates here as matter and spirit. Sat means spirit and asat means self, which is matter. So Krishna is both matter and spirit. Spirit is nothing but Krishna, matter is nothing but Krishna. Because Krishna and his energies are not different. There are these two energies, the inferior energy, matter, and the superior energy, spirit. And Krishna is the origin of both of them. Etadyoni bhutani sarvani. So because Krishna is the origin of all these energies, he's not the one of these energies. So the devotee sees that whether it's material energy acting or the spiritual energy, actually it's Krishna. Krishna is doing everything. For Krishna, there's no difference. Prabhupada is the example. That with the same electricity, you run a refrigerator or you run a stove. So it's the same energy, but manipulated the way the electrician knows how to make the same energy work to heat or to cool. So Krishna, his energy is one. But he uses it in different ways. When he uses it wrong, it's all material. Another way, spiritual. But it's all Krishna's energy. So the devotee, therefore, knows that I'm in the hands of Krishna, even in this material world. And he takes shelter of Krishna's. But he doesn't take shelter of Krishna's material. He takes shelter of the spiritual energy, and it's happily in this material world. Any comments, questions?
I was thinking about this recently.
Is that a microphone?
Just been thinking about this the last few days, mostly in the context of...
That microphone really works better than...
Yes.
Mostly in the context of that other person, by the mediation of Krishna. There's no escaping Krishna.
Yeah, you can't get liberation from the control of Krishna. They would like that in personas, that you could say that's their motive. Why should I be under control? Why should I be controlled by a superior, that you become one with the supreme? And there's no one higher than me, nothing higher than me. That's not possible. More thoughts about that? Anything else? Yes?
I think that has to do with came back last night because I have a question. I came back last night because I have a question, but it wasn't the time. So, can I ask a question now?
You only asked the question today. Okay.
Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because we were discussing the class, and we started talking about different moves of the deity. I don't know how it came about.
Well,
like moves of the deity, like Samvada, Abhidhyaya, and Prayojana.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about the mood of Radha and Madan Mohan, the mood of Radha Govinda, the mood of Radha Govinda. And my question is that, can the deities, the same deities, can be in a different mood according to the worshipper? It's the same deities, but...
Yeah, Krishna can do everything. Krishna can do everything. It's not that you approach Govinda, he can only deal with Abhidhyaya, he can't deal with Prayojana. He can't deal with Sambandha. He's Krishna, he can deal with everything. All deities are Krishna, they can do everything. Predominant mood is he's the master and worthy servant. Even Srila Prabhupada directed that in our present situation, the deity is regarded as or worshipped in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan. Because Lakshmi Narayan are worshipped with reverence. Krishna's worship with spontaneous devotion. So in our present status, we are fit only for worshiping with reverence and respect. We can't presume beyond the level of spontaneous devotion. So even though the deity may be Radha Krishna, the reciprocation is on the level of the worship is offered to be left in the grand portion of Krishna. We first have to learn how to respect Krishna, how to treat Krishna with great attentiveness and reverence, obedience. Those who study the Vedas and drink the soma juice, seeking the heavenly planets, worship me indirectly. Purified of sinful reactions, they take birth on the highest heavenly planet of Indra, where they enjoy bodily delights. Purport. The word Trividya refers to three Vedas, Sama, Yajur, and Rig. A Brahmana who has studied these three Vedas is called a tree deity. Anyone who is very much attached to knowledge derived from from these three beds is respected in society. Unfortunately, there are many great scholars of the Vedas who do not know the ultimate purport of studying them. Therefore, Krishna here declares himself to be the ultimate goal for the three Vedas. Actual three Vedas take shelter from the lotus feet of Krishna and engage in pure devotional service to satisfy the Lord. Devotional service begins with the chanting of Hare Krishna mantra and side by side trying to understand Krishna in truth. Unfortunately, those who are simply official students of the Vedas become more interested in offering sacrifices to the Trimbani gods like Indra and Chandra. By such endeavor, the worshippers of the Trimbani gods are certainly purified of the contamination of the lower qualities of nature and are thereby elevated to the higher planetary systems, or heavenly planets, known as Naharloka, Janaloka, Kapaloka, etc. Once situated on those higher planetary systems, one can satisfy the senses hundreds of thousands of times better than in this planet.
Tribhutra, the knowers of the three Vedas, are called Trivedi. These days we meet people named Trivedi, Dr. Trivedi, Dr. Chaturvedi, and they don't know anything about the Vedas. They only have the name Trivedi. If we were to call them according to the actual qualification, they'd be called Nirvedi. But Trivedi, actually Trivedi, knows the subject matter of the three Vedas. And the actual subject matter is Krishna, we were discussing yesterday. The Vedas Sarvairaham Eva. But there are others who study the Vedas. They're mentioned in the second chapter. Yamimam Pushitam Vacham Pramanati Abhipashita Veda Bhagavata Partha Nandivasiti Bhagavata. Veda Bhagavata. Those who are superficially attracted to the flowery words of the Vedas. Pushitam Vacham. Pushitam means flowery. Vacham. Flowery words. What are those flowery words? They're the words describing the wonders of the heavenly planets. Who's attracted to these things? Abhipashita. Those who are immature, those who are, yes, immature in experience. Vedavadata. Those who are chanting the Vedas but don't understand the actual purport of the Vedas. They don't understand Krishna. They're interested in the higher planets, Vidigeva Bhogam. Vidigeva Bhogam means the divine enjoyment bound on the heavenly planets.
Vidigeva Bhogam?
Yeah, thank you. Pleasures and thoughts of heaven. Vidigeva Bhogam. They undergo sacrifices, or they give charity, they perform pious activities, they study the Vedas. But their goal is to go to the heavenly planets and enjoy. They still have the enjoying spirit, but they hope to enjoy big time, pious enjoyment. They hope for pious enjoyment. There are those who are trying to enjoy by doing anything and everything. So they're simple persons.
whatever is immediately attractive for your sense gratification, somehow or other, by hook or by crook. And that's mentioned in Bhagavad Gita also. I'm getting on to assumption, but I've got money somehow or other. Any of the legal means, it doesn't matter. Because kama purpura bhava, your idea is sense gratification is the ultimate. Let me gratify my senses. Let me do it now. This is innocent, whatever. But they're very simple. But then there are pious persons who follow the directions in scripture. But they still have the same idea that it's for enjoyment. Only they have a refined idea of enjoyment, they have a divine idea, an idea of enjoying by the grace of God, enjoying the gifts of God. They hope that when they die, they'll go to their heavenly reward. That's the term. He's gone to his heavenly reward. And you get, you work hard here, or you pray, you go to church, you perform good deeds, and at the end, you get rewarded. And the reward is that you go to heaven. And usually the concept of heaven is a place where you can enjoy. Of course, the description is not very, usually it's rather vague, maybe sort of hanging around in the clouds, playing harps, and dressed in a toga. How enjoyable that is, I'm not really sure. But the idea is that something enjoyable, maybe in some religious sense, they have the idea that you'll go to heaven and your house will be there, your wife will be there, your dog will be there, the picket fence will be there, but it's forever. Of course, my group will be like, hope to be like that too. But they can see that it is a heaven. Or we hear that in Islam there's also an idea of great enjoyment by the grace of Allah in heaven. And in the Vedic literature, there's certainly promises of heavenly enjoyment. So, Abhipashyata, those who are less intelligent, are attracted by these things. They want to go to
heaven. And Somapaha, Bhutapaha, they perform Vedic sacrifices, and there's so many of them, and many other such things. Bhutapaha, and they're freed from sinful reactions. They perform pious activities. These yogas are pious activities. These are pious persons who are doing these things. So Bhutapaha. Yogyaya Vishva, they perform worship with various sacrifices. Swargatim Bhartiyante, and they hope, they pray to go to heaven. They pray for heaven. That's their goal. Let me go to heaven. Either that, a day sort of heaven, whatever the right thing heaven is, according to their religious background. The followers of this religion, but they all have the idea that there's a higher place where you can really enjoy. They don't generally have the idea that heaven is a place where I serve. Rather, it's a place where I'm served, where I'm the center of enjoyment, where my desires will be fulfilled, where the enjoyment will be ambrosial, eternal enjoyment. But that's the center of my enjoyment. The idea is not generally there or generally developed that heaven is the place where I render service. Here's the place where I render service, and then I spend my life rendering service, and I can go there and I can enjoy.
So these people have that idea.
Swagatan Parthenate, they pray to go to heaven. Te punyam asadya surendra lokam.
And so they contained the highest planets of Indraloka and other seven planets. Punyaman seven. These are highest places. You can't go to these planets. Simple persons can't go there. One has to be highest to go to the heavenly planets. Te Punyamasa, Surendraloka, Sura Indraloka, other planet, the king of gods, Lord Indra. Ashanti de Yam. And no one can actually enjoy this heavenly happiness for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Any questions about that?
Mm-hmm. How easy is it to get to heaven?
Excuse me?
How easy is it to get to heaven?
Not very easy. Remember, you have to be pious. Even being pious in this age is not very easy. Mm-hmm. There's some. Yeah. It's not so easy. Can't just go down and weigh out by a ticket and get on the bus and come off and pass off and go over and it's hard. To perform these sacrifices and pass out the rules. Not so easy. And how hard is it compared to what?
It almost seems sometimes that for to be born into the heavenly planets and to undergo so many years and then to again have to take birth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot of trouble to go to the heavenly planets. You have to not, you know, that's. Let's look at what you have to do. First of all, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no meaning. I mean, it's harder, it's at least as hard as joining the Hare Krishna movement. You have to follow these same four regular principles. That leaves out just about everybody. Most people in modern age are disqualified by another guy because they're engaged in these four principles, simple activities. Illicit sex, gambling, media, intoxication. What is the lesser transgressions? So one can't do these things and go to heaven. In the heavenly planets, one has to give these things up. And then one has to perform so many pious activities. Yajna, yajnas, sacrifices. They're in the Vedic literature, they're great sacrifices that one performs in order to be elevated to heaven. It's not just sort of come home from work, do a little fire yajna. There's some group that's promoting that you just do Agnihotra yajna every day. Light a little lamp and say a few prayers, and that's your Agnihotra. I feel like Agnihotra yajna is a huge thing to qualified Brahmins who have to be engaged in the kinds of Brahmins performed with the rituals. It's huge. Not just when you come home from your IT job, you do a little, and you go for your pet, and go to the heavenly planets. It's not such a cheap thing. It's very rigorous. Yes.
But if you get the patronage of a very powerful personality like Jesus, then you could get a pretty much free ride there, right? And
even it's not so pretty. Jesus doesn't just say, go on, do simple activities, do all the rubbish, and then I'll take care of you. Be that perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. In the rich man wanted to follow Jesus, what do I have to do to be saved? Jesus said, follow the commandments. He said, which ones? Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not go to ten. He said, I'm doing that. He said, not then. I'll take all your money, give it away to the poor, and join me.
Why then, every time one of our grandparents dies, we say they went to heaven?
That's conventional
this convention. But then in Hindi also they say someone's Swargabas Sohe. He's not a man. It's a nice way of saying he's dying. We don't really know where he's going. Whether he's gone Swargabas, Naragabas, down to heaven, down to hell, down someplace in between, maybe taking birth down the street, we don't know. But out of culture, we say respect for the Buddha, respect for him. When Hamlet's Polonius died, he told his stepfather that he's gone where? To heaven. So you can look for him there yourself. And if you don't find him there, you can send your servants to him. And start sending your servants to look for him there. And if you don't find, they don't find him there, you can look for him in the other place or something.
And, you know, so we raced into space, we got our eye up there first on the moon, and then we forgot about it. That's really astonishing. It's almost as easy to believe that 19 guys with boxcutters, directed by a guy in a cave in Afghanistan, brought down the World Trade Center as it is to believe something like that. So there's, it's wonderful. Prabhupada himself remarked that if they've gone to the moon, why are they not going back? And that was in 1970s, now it's 2009. And they still don't seem to be all interested in going back. Interesting. And by the way, we know they've gone there because we saw the videos. Since then, NASA has lost all the videos. They stay sad. Excuse me?
I've heard
that it's really doesn't work, you know, if you want to go to the moon, you have to get your technology out. Maybe it's
I've heard you said that they lost some of the plans also.
Well, they can lose whatever they want. The greatest achievement in human history, and you know, they lost the movies. You know, there was a picture, if it was your dad's picture of the first time you walked, your mom would have his head. If he lost them. And here NASA loses the videos of the greatest events in human history. And they just, you know, produced a brief article in the New York Times. That's it. In the words of the sages, go figure. Yes?
Maharaj, do you think that people who are on this, I guess we would call it religious path, right, in conventional terms, Prabhupada says here they become purified of the contamination of lower qualities of nature. Are they candidates? Are they good candidates? Or
for going back to Godhead?
Well, yeah, or for approaching them and...
Yeah, somehow they can be diverted from the moon would be good. The moon or interloka. They're like nice young people or nice old people, pious and so on, who are just misdirected. So it is possible to divert them. That happened in the case of the sons of Maharaj Daksha. They were performing pious activities. But it was for the sake of becoming successful householders. Nice, pious, married, beautiful men like their father. And Arjuna saw such nice boys. And they're performing such pious activities. But what a waste. Just for the sake of becoming householders in this material world, they're performing these pious activities. So he set out to divert them, which he successfully did. He instead directed them on the path back home after Godhead, which didn't make him exceptionally popular with Maharaj Daksha, but endeared him more to Krishna and the devotees. So it is possible. Generally, they are in that cycle, but while they're on the pious heavenly planets, they do acknowledge the personality of Godhead by whose grace they've been
able to enjoy it this way. But they just don't get it. Just like you find, there are pious people, and there are people in, that we know who are sinful, you know, nasty, sinful, unscrupulous people. And then you find these, you know, relatively pious people, church-going, God-fearing, commandment, following to some extent. But they can't quite seem to get it that the purpose is not to go to heaven. That the purpose is eternal service. They're looking forward to going to heaven, and they don't really see more than that. Or that even while on earth, their idea is that if you're good, then God will reward you. Even while you're here. You work hard, you live a godly life, and God will bestow his blessings upon you. There are so-called worldly religions where they don't even pass this world. If you're God-fearing, if you follow the commandments of God and observe the various observances, then God will give you his blessings, and you'll have, you know, a big family and live a long time, and you'll get to see your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren, maybe, and God will bestow upon you all these benefits. And that's their idea. Basically, God's job is to supply, and our job is to enjoy it. So that's at least God is in the picture. That we acknowledge that we're dependent on God for these things. That's certainly an improvement over I just do it. If I want it, I get it. I beg, borrow, or steal, but I get what I want. So better dependence to acknowledge that all these things come from God. That's pious. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says this is quite a bit more cheating. Where we perform religious activities for the sake of economic prosperity, sense gratification, and then perhaps liberation. He calls that taking cheating. So in Bhagavad Dharma, that's kicked out. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching. The tendency is strong, especially in family life. One has the idea that we'll worship God, worship the deity, and we'll live a good religious life together. And one doesn't see a higher goal than that. The tendency is to become materially comfortable, materially attached, and set one's sights on living piously in this world and hope for elevation in the next life. The soul pleases the Lord. But that intense desire to serve the Lord is so often missing. Bhogacharya Prasadana, they have been in the Jayakasana. Yes, I have the spirit of sense enjoyment obstructs progress on the path of pure devotional service that leads back to God. Therefore, Anyabhi Vajra Vishwitman, Dhyana Karmadhi, Nibhuti and Krishna. If your devotional service needs that mental speculation and the sort of karma that's described through pious activities throughout the nation are rejected. And one becomes interested only in favorably cultivating devotional service. And the Buddha and Krishna are saying, that's pure, pure devotion. Pure devotional service. Transcendental devotional service. Thank you.
worshippers performing Vedic rituals are purified of material contamination, and yet their reward is...
They're not completely purified. It's not that they're 100% purified, but punya papa, there's sinful reactions are gone. Now they have pious reactions. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, shubha shubha palayareva moksha se karma bandha. By devotional service, you'll be purified of the results of both sinful and pious activity. You could say that sinful life is divided into two parts, sinful and pious. Actually, pious or sinful, it's all sinful. Because the context is my own enjoyment. But when it's grossly sinful, we call it sinful. And when it's to a lesser extent, forgetfulness and ignorance or negligence of the Lord is less, than we call it pious. But it's not completely true. Yes?
Why, I think it was in the previous verse that I mentioned
the tree Vedi. Tree Vedi, I don't know. Why not the fourth one? I don't know.
Charita says the fourth one is not respectable in Dharma.
It's not, the Charita's not respectable then?
Because it has like incantations of voodoo type things in it.
Okay. Prabhupada added the fourth one up.
So,
when we have different literature, some of these. No, you have to speak up. I can phone or no, I can phone.
So, when we are speaking in the association of devotees and we have the desire for pure devotional service, we encourage each other to take to the process pure devotional service. And we were speaking about, you know, people that are pious, they have some desire to go to heaven, and people that are sinful or under the motive of ignorance and passion, they just go after sense gratification anyway. So is it better if someone isn't ready for pure devotional service to at least begin to...
What's that?
If someone is not ready for pure devotional service, it would like disturb their mind, you know, that you try to engage in a pure devotional service, then is it not better to at least direct them towards becoming pious and then with the ability, then to be able to progress towards getting
really.
Understanding?
We don't direct them for renunciation. Excessively. You don't say, well, give up your job, give up your this, give up your that. That's not possible for them. But it's not that you say, well, okay, for you, you know, we will speak about chanting Hare Krishna, we'll recommend that you give money to the Red Cross. No, we'll give everyone a chance. This is not going to disturb your life if you chant. It's not that you can turn everything upside down if you chant Hare Krishna. Or read Bhagavad Gita as it is. We may not recommend that you immediately give up family life, that you immediately take to sannyas. But we can recommend to everyone chant Hare Krishna and read these books. That's not going to excessively disturb those who are attached to the food. Then, should we stop here? Any other questions?